This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 168. I opted for the gore and profanity. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to another episode of our podcast, people. How you been?
How are you? Is your mom well?
Did you have a good week?
Did you find some money on the street and give it to a nun?
How's your Twitter working?
Fuck Twitter.
What do you mean, fuck Twitter? But I love Twitter.
I know you do.
I do.
I know you do.
You know what else I love?
Our website.
I do. And not just because I designed it, but because there's great things to read there. It keeps me entertained during the week. And if you want to be entertained, make sure that you visit us at our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is...
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and also you can check out some of the other shows that are flying under the Esh flagship.
That's right. We've got a bunch of little things going off here, hosted by other members of our crew. So if you haven't checked it out yet, you should check out the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast. You can find them at bostonbastardbrigade.com. And the podcast is helmed by Esh alum King Baby Duck, who is kind of a cool dude.
Yeah.
And the bastards are a cool bunch. You think that you wouldn't necessarily like a bunch of bastards, but they're a lovable bunch of bastards. And wenches.
They take you to movies when you have no money.
Bastards with a heart of gold. So make sure that you're checking them out. Like I said, you can visit them on their website, and their podcast is in the iTunes store. So if you go to the directory there, you can subscribe to our podcast, but you can subscribe to theirs as well. And also make sure that you check out Geek Aggro, hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. Okay, another side of gaming, another perspective of gaming. I mean, dudes are doing it for themselves. I'm so proud of them.
Me too.
They heart them so much. So make sure that you check out Geek Aggro. You can catch episodes of Boston Bass Brigade, new ones coming out on Tuesdays. And I'm pretty sure you can catch the new stuff coming out from Geek Aggro on Wednesday or just about any time of the week, especially if you subscribe.
We've got you covered till hump day.
And if you just want to follow some random crap, make sure that you're checking us out on Twitter. You can find me at twitter.com/ninjasista.
Or you can look at me at twitter.com/LadyEsh.
And King Baby Duck is also on Twitter, as is Deuces Wild. So to get you completely covered, to keep up with the group, you can do that. And if you just want to see what's coming out on the website, but you're not a big RSS person, then make sure you follow our news at ESH News on twitter.com as well.
So yay!
I think that's about everything.
So we should talk about our mail question.
We did. We got a question from Slim.
Hey, hi, Slim.
How you doing? How's your mom's? That's nice. And the question was, well, it's actually a couple of questions. So I'll start with the first one here.
We should start with the third one. I'm just kidding.
You have made a request, and I'll fulfill it. So the third question that Slim had was, how do we feel about Common playing Jon Stewart, not Jon Stewart, Jewish Jon Stewart from The Daily Show Jon Stewart, but the Justice League Green Lantern.
Ooh. Does that make him the first one? Is it the first one who's the black one? I really wish I was more...
We'll work on your comic nerd. I've got a refreshed mind, to be honest with you. I was a heavy comic.
We should talk to the guys at Fantastic Forum. They know.
We should probably bring those guys in, or, you know, try to get up over there on their shit. That came out wrong, but you know where I was going with that.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I can't remember if the.
Regardless, there are some Green Lanterns that are black.
Well, it's the thing that I loved about Green Lantern. Okay, I love that the Lantern Corps was made up of different people, different species from different pieces of the universe, and that it would jump from person to person. So the Lantern for Earth wasn't always the same person, and they weren't born with some amazing skill or from another planet. They were chosen because of who they were at their core as the best person to be the Lantern to defend our planet. And so sometimes that was, you know, a chick, sometimes it was a dude, sometimes it was
both.
Dude, I don't know about both. That's
we don't know. That's regardless, question, common, Green Lantern, impression, go.
Okay, so I'm going to jump on it first.
Okay, you jump on it first.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
You can have ready. My sloppy seconds. So here's my thing. I really don't have a problem with it. For a while, I did because I thought, you know, the only issue that I had with Common is that he's a little small. You know, I always, in my mind, see John as being a very built guy.
Okay.
And Common's not, you know, cock diesel. I mean, he's not like pap, 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 pap.
Right.
He's an average-sized guy. But as far as being able to carry off the demeanor, okay, did you ever see the movie Smoking Aces?
Yes, I love that.
Okay, there's Jeremy a lot of... Okay, Jeremy Piven is so hot, it's ridiculous. It's not fair. Anyway.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Going back to my farm. So in Smoking Aces, which a lot of people didn't enjoy, but I really did, and I'm probably one of the few that's looking forward to Smoking Aces too.
I know, I am.
Okay, so it's pretty much just us and, like, maybe Alicia Keys. Okay, so anyway, I always thought that Common was really quite a badass in that movie. Like, he surprised me. I mean, you know, I enjoy him in the movies that he's been in, but he's always been kind of a fleeting moment presence in them.
Yeah.
But he's a deep guy. I mean, some of the things that he's written are really deep, and I think if you're going to be Jon Stewart, you've got to have...
soul?
You do. You really do, because he always was a little bit tortured. He wasn't completely good. He's
a dark hero.
He walked the line. He walked the line, and I think that Common can do that. I'd like to see him beef up a little bit. I mean, there's some other actors that I think
would look better as
right, but not necessarily
act better.
Right. You know, like coming to mind, you know, Omar Epps. He definitely does the brooding thing, the walk the line thing. But he's not big enough, you know. Morris Chestnut's big enough, but he doesn't do badass, you know. The other guy that comes to mind, and I can't believe that I'm blanking on his name now, but you remember in Romeo Must Die? Okay, the one with Aaliyah and Jet Li.
I think I know the guy that you're talking. Was it Aaliyah's brother?
Not her. Her brother, the guy that killed her brother.
Yeah, I don't know that guy's name.
Yeah, I can't, for the life, and he's like in a lot of movies, but for the life of me, I can't remember his name right now. But I think he could do it as well, but he too isn't beefy enough. You know, and then you start getting into the realm of, well, why not use a rapper? And time out.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want a gangster rapper. I don't mind Common. Because, again, he's deep, okay? But I don't want 50 Cent to be Jon Stewart either. So, you know, I'm interested in seeing how the rest of the cast pans out before I pass my complete judgment. I think we'll talk about complete cast here in a second. But what do you think?
Well, I mean, I too saw him in Smoking Aces, but I've also seen Common in... Wanted. He was the gunsmith in Wanted. Have you seen Wanted?
Yep, yep.
All right.
I actually enjoyed Wanted.
Outside of the fact that they really kind of raped the original concept of Wanted,
yes,
it was still a good movie.
It was a fun movie, okay? It wasn't a good movie, but it was definitely a fun outing, fun evening.
Because,
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I know that we're current. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
You don't even have to go there.
Okay.
So with that said, you know, where you've cut, and if you haven't seen Wanted, just, you know, not to spoil, but to give you a bit of a character description, he's the gunsmith. He is familiar with all guns and will teach you, quote unquote, you know, how to use each gun and for what type of battle you want to use what type of gun. And he comes off kind of quiet, kind of a jackass, but sexy as all hell. Like,
right.
I will fuck you up. And I'm like, please do.
Hurt me, Carmen. Hurt me.
Yeah. I mean,
retrospect, you know, for my life. Sorry.
Regardless, he only had maybe 4 lines in the whole movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for the most part, anytime that I've seen Carmen in a movie, he really didn't have, you know, a strong, developed character. He's always been in the background, either said something really funny or, you know, really deep at that moment, and that was that.
So, you know how I made the comment about rappers? I just had a thought. But he's not dark enough.
Who?
Ludacris.
I don't think he's beefy enough, and I think he's kind of short.
Have you seen that boy with his chin?
He's short, though.
Dude, he doesn't have to... John doesn't have to be really, really tall.
No, but he's short, though.
I know, but he's not dark enough is the problem. Because John really needs to be dark. He can't be light-skinned. Can't be brooding and be light-skinned. It just doesn't work.
Oh, is that
true? I'm like, Pookie, really. Have a cookie.
So, I mean, since we've only seen Common in a very minimum light, we've seen him in a background or, you know, as a running gag, like in Smoking Aces, you know, him kind of being kind of a slight comic relief parallel to Alicia Keys' group of being badass women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see a lot of growth there. But, I mean, he has great on-screen chemistry. He's nice to look at.
Yeah.
You can understand what he says. So, I mean, I think this will be a great opening for him to jump into a lead role. And I would love to see him take that. I mean, no one thought that, you know, Jessica Hudson would do well, you know, acting-wise in Dreamgirls, and she blew us away.
You know what? I disagree with you. I think a lot of people expected good things from Jennifer Hudson. I just think that they were really surprised.
I knew she was going to do well singing-wise. Like, there was no doubt in my mind that she was going to nail those songs. I was concerned about her acting, but then compared to Beyonce, I wasn't that worried.
Let's
not go into that.
Look, I mean, if we're going to go on that acting scale, Beyonce's better than Mariah Carey.
Not by much.
Well, but it's there. It's there. That's all that matters.
So I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, play this role. I do want to see this movie. And, I mean, I'm very hopeful for him. So we'll see. We shall see.
Yeah.
So, how about question part A?
Question part deux?
A.
B?
A.
A? Oh. A. Okay. So, the first piece of the question was asking us about our impression of the DC comic movies. And Slim Scene Everything, except for Wonder Woman, and is impressed with him and wants to know what we've seen, what we're going to see, and what our impressions are. Well, I haven't seen them.
Me, the only one that I've seen was obviously The Dark Knight. Batman.
Well, here's my thing. Okay. I love comic books. I think that there are so many interesting stories and so many ways of painting those stories and interpreting those stories that is just great fodder for movies. Okay, plenty of space for sci-fi fans, both those that are closeted and those that are out to enjoy. So I'm really, really glad to see that there are so many DC movies being made and Marvel movies being made and Dark Horse getting into it and things like that. So those are great things to see. I absolutely love The Dark Knight. I'm not clear if we're talking about the animated DC movies, because he mentioned seeing everything but the Wonder Woman one, so I'm imagining we're talking about the animated ones, and in that case, I haven't really been able to keep up with all of the animated movies. I did see...
I think I saw Batman, the Ghost of the Phantasm.
I saw
Ghost That of the, was good. I liked that Batman movie.
Yeah, Phantasm was good. I actually own some of the Batman Beyond movies. I saw the Superman Batman Public Enemies one.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it, but you know, those are some of the comics that I read. You know, I have not seen the Doomsday Superman one yet. I'm trying to get my hands on that now to watch that, but I think that what makes those animated ones so good is because, you know, you've got the same studio behind them that was behind Batman the Animated Series.
Which we all know is a secret treasure, if not so secret.
It's not a secret. It's the shit. Okay, if I don't even care if you're really not a Batman person. There's no way that you can watch the animated series and not enjoy it. Okay. What I always like to draw as a parallel when talking about that is right at the time that the Batman animated series started disappearing from heavy rotation, that's around the same time that Cartoon Network started running Big O. And I think that that's part of the reason why Big O, which is an anime series, garnered so many people in their audience was because it filled that void that the Batman animated series was leaving behind. Because you had this, you know, to me, the lead character of Big O was very Bruce Wayne. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if I fully agree with that, because at the same time that the Batman animated season was fading, we also got a strong emergence with Gargoyles, which was a great animated drama to come out of Disney.
Well, I think we're talking about two different timelines here, because I'm talking about when it was in syndication and it started dying off of Cartoon Network, so not the original run.
Okay.
And I think even for a while, Big O was running at around the 5 o'clock slot and then led into the animated series. But what I love about... Oh my god. By the way, totally ripped off the Flash Gordon song as far as the intro goes. But anyway.
Sorry.
Different of the universe. Okay. I need to watch that movie, by the way, because Flash Gordon is the shit. And I don't think I own that yet, so I need to fix that. Anyway, what I'm getting to on the animated tales is that I think that Warner has done a great job with letting people who really love the properties actually work on the projects. Because it's obvious, okay? You look at even Batman Beyond, which when I first heard about it, I thought, oh my god, this series is going to suck. Was good. Okay? But they brought back the voice actor who did Batman in the animated tale, which made it easier for me to kind of form an allegiance with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Justice League, and then Justice League Unlimited. And then you mixed in with that also Duck Dodgers, which I thought was, you know, just an adorable little mix to put in there. So I give credit where credit is due, in that part of the reason that these animated movies and series have been, I think, done so well is because it's really obvious that people that I've either worked on comics or loved these stories or these characters to begin with are telling these stories and putting them together and actually working on these projects. Because, I mean, come on, the Return of the Joker, Batman Beyond movie, that was kind of dark.
I didn't see it, so I can't comment on stuff that I haven't seen, would make me a liar.
Spoiler alert, okay, the things that the Joker did to poor Tim Drake? Messed up.
That's some fucked up bullshit.
Yeah, Yeah, and then, you know, the Joker came back, which in the Batman Beyond time series, if you're familiar with the timeline, Bruce is an old man with a cane, so he's not the Batman anymore. Okay, Terry McGinnis is now a young Batman.
I remember Batman Beyond.
Okay, so...
I only ever watched one episode that I can remember off the top of my head, though.
In it, though, Bruce Wayne is pretty much, you know, in his... He's gotta be in his, like, late 70s, early 80s. And the Joker was his nemesis. So imagine the Joker popping back up in the year 20-whatever, whatever. Being as young as ever and as messed up as ever.
Right.
It's a hell of a storyline, and I really enjoyed it. But it was a very mature storyline. And I think that maturity is what is coming through the most in the animated tales. So, I'm impressed with them as well, Slim. And I hope that more keep coming. I think that there are so many more stories that you can do. And one of the things I really want to see happen is I want to see Marvel actually step up to the plate. Because some of the Marvel movies have kind of not been cool.
Yeah. Let's not go there, because we get on the topic of movies. This is okay. Where we go, and we're very upset.
Okay. Well, I'll leave that alone. That's all I'm going to say. So thanks for the question, Slim. We had a lot to talk about. But we're already on the topics of movies, so I'm going to pass the mic of 1,000 Truths over to you, Panda. Why don't you tell the people about your topic for the week?
I am actually going to talk about a movie that I saw earlier today. And I got to thank the B-tards over at Boston Bastard Brigade
the
for this. Because they picked me up for Inglourious Basterds, which was really nice. And they picked me up for a double whammy today. And I promise I will not spoil either movie.
Bullshit. Spoilalicious is coming out, people.
No, I'm not.
Spoilalicious.
First one on the docket. Yes, only Think Dargan.
Docket. You're so cute.
Is Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, cool.
And as you all know, the illustrator and the author was Maurice Sendak. And I had seen a little making of on HBO about this movie and how people were, you know, didn't really appreciate this book when it first came out. And I remember reading it and, you know, not then understanding why. This was not perceived as a children's book. Now, going back to it in my 25 years of age, I understand now completely why this is not really, was not perceived as a childhood book.
It's not.
I saw this movie at IMAX with the B-tards. So I got to not only see this movie and experience this movie visually, but I got to feel it. Through my butt.
Feel it through your butt!
Because they have these things called butt kickers that are, like, in the seat that rumble during, you know, rumbling in movies.
Your butt?
Yeah.
Is a butt vibrator is what you're telling me?
Yeah, but, I mean, my butt felt rejuvenated.
So Where the Wild Butt Is?
Where the Wild Butt Is.
Oh.
And, and it was really funny because, for one, we saw Jason Varitek, and several of the B-tars were kind of geeking out at seeing Varitek. I didn't realize it was him at first until they were like, it's Varitek, and they were pointing. And I was like, oh, okay, which goes to show how not very into sports I am. But he was actually there with, I believe he's got children. He was there with children, so apparently he
was pretty- you're hoping that it was... You know,
his
kids. He just wasn't randomly like, hey, children, want to go see a movie with me? I'm Jason Varitek.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably his kids.
Needless to say, if I was going to do a ratio of children to adults who went to this movie, there were a lot more children
than adults.
And
that's not...
Uh-oh. Knowing what I knew, I was like, this is not going to go well, especially with the stylistic choice that our director who did this movie...
Spike Jonze!
You know, did, because, I mean, he made it his own without violating the original concept created by Sendak, which I really do appreciate, because that's when you know you've got a harmony between book and movie, because a lot of it was, you know, linear, if not exact, to the book, which was nice. It kind of threw me off at first in the beginning of this movie, you know, because they just show wild antics of a crazy, you know, the inner workings of a child's mind, or at least Max's mind.
Right.
Visually stunning. They chose a great, great location to do a lot of this stuff. It was really dark.
Right.
Really, really dark. And at some points, me being an adult was actually kind of scared. It actually kind of made me scared a little bit. You know, and I mean, I'm no heart, you know, brave soldier on the moors of Ireland or anything. But, you know, I can usually associate things that are, you know, fake and scary or real and scary. And there were a couple of moments where they made, you know, the real atmosphere of fear come into play that really kind of made me jumpy, which is, you know, but I felt really bad because there's all these little kids, you know, and a lot of them were crying, you know, and one girl's like, "Mommy, I'm really scared." You know, when Carol kind of wanted to eat Max. And it was scary.
Spoilerishes!
No, I didn't say where, when, and when that happened. That could have been early in the movie. That could have been at the ending. I ain't telling you where. But needless to say, there was a point, and it was really scary. I mean, they went really primitive. I mean, in the middle of a dark woods, you know, everybody's depressed and miserable. And, I mean, they really, there was a lot of symbolism in this movie that no child up to middle school would understand.
Where the Wild Things are, like a lot of books, like other authors, like Roald Dahl, is not a children's book.
I know. Well, I feel really bad because I think, like, the way it was promoted, like, half of it was promoted like a children's book, and the other half wasn't. So I feel really bad because, you know, parents were like, "Oh, let's take our kids to go see the Wild Thing, where the Wild Things are, since we read them the book." You know, and now...
But they read them the book?
That doesn't say anything, because when they made James and the Giant Peach, people flocked to go see that in theaters.
Well, yeah. But see, that one, I will join you in that the way that it was marketed and the fact that it was CGI, you know, a lot of parents...
I thought it was stop action.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Regardless.
But so, I mean, when you do that kind of animation style, you know, a parent always jumps to the bandwagon of, "Oh, look, that's cutesy looking. I should be able to take my kids to it."
Well, then I kind of hope that they don't take, you know, have their kids watch Coraline.
But they did, okay? A lot of families went to go see Coraline, and Coraline was not...
Well, I mean, that was borderline. There were definitely parts in that movie that were geared towards kids, mm-hmm. but the overall concept of Coraline was not. Mm-mm. But needless to say. You know, so, I mean, the cross-promotion of this was really bad. They should have marketed it straight up as an adult movie. They shouldn't have made it so that children could go and see this, because I bet there's about 1,500... kids who pee themselves at night overseeing this movie, and maybe even four adults, but I won't say who they are.
You won't say which four.
Yeah.
Well, it's rated for parental guidance, meaning that
you gotta go with a parent.
You gotta go with a parent. So, I mean, that's not bad. Okay, it wasn't rated G.
No, but a lot of people, you know, obviously they misconstrued what that meant.
Well,
because this was very adult-themed. Like, the symbolism and the message in this movie was more geared to...
Yeah, but you can say or make that same argument about any Pixar movie. Okay? That's true. You look at Cars...
You know, I don't know if I would... I don't know if I could fully agree with you, because I think that was a kid's movie, but they put stuff in there so that adults could enjoy it, too. I do not believe...
The Incredibles.
Cars was... All right, The Incredibles was. Not Cars, though. I think Cars was...
The whole synergy of the thing was that things of the past not staying in the past and being put away for the newer, faster thing, to not forget the old ways. That's the whole thing that the movie was about. Do you really think six-year-olds picked up on that?
that could be a lesson that you teach your kids. You know, like, oh, I don't want to play with my old car because I want a new one. Well, you know, you should treasure your old ones, too.
It's a lesson that you could teach your boyfriend.
Yes. Touche.
Check ninja.
Anyway, the movie, like I said, beautiful. I enjoyed watching it because I felt touched watching this movie.
Aww, now, was it the butt kicker?
Did
it touch your butt?
The butt kicker was touching, but that's not what
did
I mean.
Did it vibrate your touche?
The movie itself was touching and moving. And at some points, psychotic.
Well, it was a movie. It should move. If it didn't move, it'd be a still picture. Sorry.
Anyway.
That was an easy
one. I really enjoyed it. Like, I really think that this will be one that I go and I buy. And okay. I watch, not on repeat for the rest of my life.
Right.
But it's definitely one that when I feel really depressed and I think life sucks.
Yeah, you'll want in your collection.
This, then I'll feel happy.
And that's, I really think, is what The Wild Things are is really about for so many people and why so many people our age enjoy it, and we're so excited to hear that a movie was being done about it, to hear that it wasn't going to be, you know, an animated CGI thing, and then even more excited when we heard that Spike Jonze was going to direct it. You know, it's on my list to see, and I will probably own it, but the thing that I always liked about Where the Wild Things Are was that in my moments where everything seemed a little bit much,
mm-hmm.
I always found myself thinking back to that story in one way or another, or something that I pulled out of it, because I identified a lot with Max, especially as a kid. You know, and it's one of those things that endears itself to you, whether you read it as a child and then as you get older start to appreciate it, because I don't think that you appreciate it when you're young. Okay, it's story time when you're young. But once you get around the high school and the college pieces, then you really start being able to understand and absorb what's in the story, what's in the words. And I think that's why so many of us are just like, yes, Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah. So it was really good. And I've heard a lot of people are like, I don't know if I like it. I mean, if for those who are complaining about not liking it, I want to ask if you've read the book. Because if you read the book, you would appreciate what this movie has done for the book.
Well, good.
And for the story.
That makes me feel better, because I always get a little worried when they start taking books.
I mean, obviously, you know, they overhyped up the tension in the house with Max to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some things are a tad bit exaggerated, but, you know, this was, you know, a book that maybe had, 12 pages in it. So, I mean, they had to beef up certain things, and I don't, you know, detract for that. But it really satisfied my requirements for this movie to be good.
Well, good, good.
Second movie on my palette.
Next on the docket.
Is Law Abiding Citizen.
Ooh, Gerard
Jamie
Butler.
Foxx.
And Jimmy
Fox. Gerald Butler.
Oh, Jimmy Fox might. Nah. I don't know.
I've seen where his wild thing is. But
oh,
regardless.
Jamie.
I won't ruin this movie either, but if you've seen the trailer, Jamie Foxx.
Shit blows up. Like a Michael Bay movie. Explosion!
Man. Oh, I can't even go into it with you because I would spoil. But,
spoiler is just trying to come out.
The story, as you know it from the trailer, Gerald's wife and daughter get killed. He goes after the people that killed them and then orchestrates a whole line of events in pursuit of bringing down a corrupt system. Each attack is so... what's the word? Methodically planned out. I mean, once you catch on to the flow of the movie, you can anticipate when and what will happen.
Was it like Seven, but without all of the gore?
I can't.
Because Seven still gives me heebie-jeebies.
So
and it's the reason why I can't look Kevin Spacey in the eye.
Giving away the whole story.
I love that this whole episode, you're like, without trying to give things away.
No, no, I will paint one picture for you.
Okay.
That, you know, might answer your question. So one of the guys who was convicted of killing, you know, Gerald's wife and child, he manages to lure to an abandoned warehouse, which he has now rigged up to essentially torture this man.
Uh-huh.
He rigs a gun to inject, I think, the first sodium potassium, I think it is, that you get in lethal injections, mm-hmm. so that he cannot move.
Mm-hmm.
But his sensory stuff is still intact.
Right. So he can't move, but he can feel everything. But he can paralyze the thing. Yeah.
And he ties this man up, you know, and has all these, you know, scalpels and really sharp, ouchy things.
Sharp, ouchy things.
And he pretty much outlines what he is going to do to this man. Mind you, the man can't respond because he's kind of incapacitated.
Right.
You know, so, you know, he's like, I've got a scalpel for your eyelids if you even dare to shut your eyes. He's like, I've got a hacksaw for your penis. Like, it's bad. You know, and after, you know, he has this mirror come down so that this man can watch him get mutilated. And at the end, I won't go into everything that he uses, but when they find this guy who did this horrible crime, he is found in 25 pieces. Blood everywhere.
Ouchie.
So, think back to 7. 25 pieces.
I'll go with 7. Because, yeah, 7 wasn't that bad. Although, the gluttony guy, when we found
that
him,
that
scared me. Because I was like, ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But needless to say, I mean, once you catch the flow of the movie, you can predict what and when. It's pretty linear. But, I mean, it's a race against the clock, essentially. You know, if you're someone who's in the legal profession, where, you know, you're taught to think 2 steps ahead, the bad guy in this movie, Gerald Butler, is thinking, like, 10 steps ahead of you. It is beautiful to watch. So beautiful to watch. Action-packed. You can't relax for a second. Even though they feed you everything. You're being walked through everything. But it's good. It is enjoyable. For an action movie, it is enjoyable. If you're looking for a deep social, you know, social uprising against the criminal justice system, then you might find some of it in this movie, but not enough to rage war on, you know, a corrupt and broken system, the way that they kind of want you to feel coming out of that movie. But it's still good. Would I buy it? Maybe 3 weeks after it got released on DVD. I would not rush out to go and buy this straight away, unlike Where the Wild Things Are. Because I would buy that outright.
Okay.
But still, really good movies. And what a great way to go from dark and imaginative to action drama. So thank you, Boston Bastard Brigade.
You made Panda's Movie Weekend
you
Magic.
Made not a sad panda.
Aww. You know has a sad?
No. That's so with that, you know, I'm gonna, you know, hand you the mic of 1,000 truths, and you can tell me what's up.
Alright, so I'm gonna share with you my postmortem on Brutal Legend.
And?
Because I've damn near finished it, so I guess we can go ahead and jump into this. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to spoil the shit out of this game if you haven't played it. Because I'm going to tell you everything.
Wow. Okay, so you heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
Ninja is going to spoil this game.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to spoil the game. Trust me. I'm just going to tell you everything about it because you need to know. So a lot of people on the internet, and when I say a lot of people on the internet, I mean reviewers, have been panning the game because they say it's too short, it's clunky, and some just outright say it sucks.
Like a chode?
I wouldn't go that far, use that verbiage, but a lot of people are just saying that they're not enjoying it. So here's my take on Brutal Legend. All those people can suck my cock.
Oh.
Because I thoroughly enjoy the game.
Okay.
So if you watch the trailers, which we put up on our website when they came out, and they're all over game trailers and YouTube and things like that, the game has a main character named Eddie Riggs, who is voiced by Jack Black, who, right, as you know, I absolutely love. Love Jack, love Kyle, love the D, as in Tenacious D.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Eddie Riggs is the best roadie on the planet. However, he's working for the absolute worst, quote-unquote, heavy metal band. So if you watch the trailer, like, they start out with a kicking bass line and drum thing going on, and then all of a sudden break into, like, a poppy Linkin Park type song that's not really metal or pop or...
At
like,
all?
There's a DJ, like, scratching on it in the background. You're just like, wait, what? How are you metal? I don't understand. But Eddie's built this amazing stage, and one of the guys in the band, which is called Cabbage Boy, goes out on a piece of the stage that Eddie told him not to go out on, and he looks like he's going to slip and he's going to fall. And Eddie runs, you know, out on stage and is able to catch him and his guitar and send them on his merry way. But then a piece of the stage falls on Eddie, and it looks like he's dead.
Eddie Ben should have brought his teddy. Sorry, wrong Eddie. Meatloaf was the man.
Meatloaf is still the man.
Good point.
Come on.
Yeah.
The loaf. So some blood gets on this crazy looking like demon belt buckle of Eddie's, and all of a sudden this stage summons this demon thing that pops out, kills the band, with the exception of the one person in the band that was actually kind of decent to Eddie, and pretty much just flicks him off the stage. But he decapitates the other three members. But before he does, a little pop-up block jumps up and says, hey, from time to time in this game, things could get a little rough. Do you want to see it? Do you want to keep it PG? And you get the choice. So as you're playing, you get to choose whether or not you want to see the bloody, gory stuff or not. Just like you also get the choice to hear the curse words in strong language or not. I'm an adult, so I opted for the gore, and I also opted to hear the word fuck, because I like that word. So, those guys die. The demon thing takes Eddie to this other world that is completely infused and molded by the metal, though the people that live there don't know it. So there's a lot of hard-hitting talent that's worked on this game. One, it's from the maker of Monkey Island, Tim Schafer. I'm probably saying his name wrong, but I do that from time to time. But, like I said, Eddie's voiced by Jack Black. The girl that he meets and has a thing for, who is named Ophelia.
Ophelia.
You are...
You know they were going to... They're. I'm surprised they didn't make that joke.
Okay. Anyway, he meets Ophelia, who he absolutely, like, has a hot tour, and she kind of is a raven-haired ingenue, but, you know, focused on the metal. She's got the bracelets with the spikes, and she's kind of hot. I'm not going to lie. But show her some of the demon thingies that are in the game. Especially the right. Nuns. The nuns are kind of sexy looking, actually. But basically, he's fighting off these nuns and these druids and doesn't know why. Meets Ophelia and finds out that Emperor Diviculus is pretty much swiping through the land, killing shit, and General Lionwhite, who's his right hand, is making it unbearable to live in the land. So everyone was going after this weapon that Eddie's wielding like he's always done it all of his life to try and take out Lionwhite and hopefully Emperor Diviculus.
Right.
So Eddie teams up with Ophelia. They head back to gather the few human beings that aren't working for Diviculus. And so they've got a leader named Lars, who is blonde-haired, wavy, bangy, but kind of downtrodden because he doesn't have any people. And right. He doesn't, you know, like, have an army, but he still wants to have an army so he can take out Deviculus. But he's a down-on-his-luck hero.
Aww.
And so he asks Eddie to actually take out these guys so that the land can be free. And he's like, hey, man, I'm just a roadie. I'm not a leader. He goes, but I can take one look at you and know you're a leader. So I'm going to help you do what you need to do. All right? So buck up there. And there are a lot of tongue-in-cheek things about the game. But in talking about the talent, Deviculus is voiced by Tim Curry. That makes me happy right there.
Makes me happy in the pants.
Okay. General Lion White is voiced by Rob Halford.
Ooh.
Okay. And his hair is so long and flowy that he uses it to fly.
To fly?
Yeah. And he's a glam rocker, so he's like glam metal doll out. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And then Lars Halford, the main character, has a twin sister, Lita, that runs around with him. She's kind of hot, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they also eventually add into the party the Killmaster, who's voiced by Lemmy Kilmister, and then the Fire Baron, who's also voiced by Rob Halford, and then the Amazonian Rima, who's voiced by Lita Ford. So, as you can see, a lot of the characters were named after some of the best rock gods on the planet, and metal gods. And, oh yeah, there's also the Guardian of Metal, who's voiced by and is designed to look exactly like Ozzy Osbourne, because it is Ozzy.
Ozzy Osbourne, yes.
And, you know, I mean, if there would be a Guardian of the Metal, it totally would be Ozzy Osbourne.
Right.
Seriously. And it's the most clearly that I've heard Ozzy speak ever.
Well, he had time to practice.
Basically, there are all these missions, and you have a main mission that you need to do, and there are side missions. And I will say that in the game, if you only focus on the main missions, you can knock this game out in a couple of hours. Absolutely. But the same thing can be said about Fable. Okay, if you don't do any of the side quests at all, if you just stick to completing the story, you can knock that out pretty quick, too.
Right.
So, you know, as far as the complaints about it being short, like all things with all people, I think that's pretty relative. Okay. So I tried to mix it up a little bit, and I stuck mostly to the storyline, but I did run a couple of the side missions, and when I finish the game completely, I'm going to go back and finish those, because that is an option that you do get in the game. When you finish it, you can go back and just either drive around the land or finish up any of the side quests that you didn't do. And a lot of the side quests are army swarm killings or racing things, you know, the typical side quest stuff that you get, escort missions, and there are a couple of those in the game, and they do get a little tedious, I will say. Like, at one point, I was like, oh, and I see that the rock bus, because we're going on tours, in front of me, which means either the monkey chameleon things are coming, or the Grim Reapers on horseback are coming. And oh. I gotta shoot them all before they take out the bus. So, like many action titles, definitely has the escort pieces. But I enjoyed the story. So as you progress on, you see Eddie bringing and finding other pieces to bring into the group and trying to build this rock army for Lars to lead against General Lion White and Deviculus. So it starts out with him first recruiting the Headbangers, which is probably the biggest piece of video, if you don't already have the game, that you've seen, with the Eddie character running around with, you know, the four big guys with no neck just kind of banging around him and kind of keeping him safe. Then there are also the Razor Girls, who are some of the hot chicks that were taken from Lars's village to go work in General Lion White's pleasure palace, which we Ooh. Do eventually raid to free the chicks.
Right.
So then after that, there are the Killmaster's guys, and the Killmaster is a great person to have in your party, because whenever you walk by him, he's a healer.
Right.
So anytime you need somebody healed in your group, you just have to be in his vicinity while you're in the group, and you'll just completely heal up. Now, there are no life meters in this game.
Oh?
You do die. So, like, right. If you take too much damage, you will keel over. The screen will eventually, as you start taking more damage, you'll hear your heartbeat start going faster, and the screen will turn more and more red.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's your cue to either get yourself over to where the kill master is, or to get away from the scene so that you can calm down enough and not die, and then you can go back in.
Right, okay.
Then there are also flame beasts that you eventually ride.
Ooh, I'm all about riding the flame beast.
And so you jump up on their backs, and they kind of look like giant monkeys.
Flame monkeys?
But they spit flame.
Oh.
So kind of like, you know the Aztec statues and how they designed a monkey? Like, that's what the face looks like.
All right.
And it spits fire.
And it spits fire.
Yeah, spits fire. Eddie has the ability to build all kinds of things. So he puts together a car, and when you visit the Guardian of Metal, that's when you can upgrade your weapons, both on the car, which is really important, as well as both your melee attack and your long-range attack. So your melee attack is going to be your axe, where your long-range attack is your other axe, which is your guitar. And one of the things that I haven't done yet, because I did pre-order the game, is that if you did, you got a code to get Eddie's, like, signature guitar, which is supposed to be kind of badass. But I didn't want to do that or use that in a game until after I beat it once. So right. I'm going to be doing that here in a little bit. But the story is basically Eddie pining for Ophelia because he believes that Ophelia has a thing for Lars. Lars's sister doesn't like it because you kind of get the feeling that she has a brother complex, and, you know, just like, in Revolutionary Utena, what's his face's little sister?
Anthy?
No. The blonde one. You know, the redheaded guy, his little sister?
Nanami.
Yes, that bitch.
Big brother!
Nobody can have my big brother!
Oh my god.
Oh,
I wanted to slap her in her white face.
I really, really wanted
hate to. Hate crime, motherfucker. Hate crime.
But anyway, you kind of get that feeling in the group.
She's like that.
Right. And
there's
also some mystery behind Ophelia because she's hiding something, and Eddie just trusts her implicitly, and Ophelia tries to plant this seed, and, you know, Eddie's like, look, I'm going to give you this thing. It's the only thing that I have in my mom's, and I don't really know much about her, but I'm going to trust it to you. That's
how much
I trust you.
Oh, my God, is she his mother?
No. Oh. They do eventually kiss, but like I said, I'm going to tell you all about this story, so I'm about to spoil the shit out of it. All
right.
So, basically, a big battle happens at General Lion White's castle, and one of the things that you have to do is eventually when you go on tour, is you build a stage, which is basically your home base. So it's almost like a big battle of capture the flag. Basically, you have a base, they have a base, and you've got to storm their base, and
all their base belong to you?
Pretty much. That's what the goal is. Okay? And so in the way is, because this is all metal-based, you have a stage, and you have to put on a show. And in order to put on a show, well, you've got to have people watching the show. You've got to have fans. So there are these wells that are spread over whatever the main battlefield is going to be. And it's tower defense, because you have to capture a fan base and build a merch booth, and then from those merch booths, you can recruit things into your army or upgrade your stage. The more that you upgrade your stage, the faster that you will build up fans. The faster you build up fans, the more you can recruit different types of army infantry, basically.
Right.
So you have your headbangers, you have your razor girls, and they have kind of like little laser shotgunny thingies. Laser
okay.
Pens. Then you have two types of bike people. You have both the Killmeister type of bike, which you can do the feature, which is called Double Team, where you basically grab one of your types of infantry and do a double melee attack.
Right.
On them. You also have the razor bikes, which will leave rings of fire around things. Then you have roadies, which carry sound amps on their back that can actually stun things for you or knock down certain types of towers that you can't physically get to. There's also the bone crusher, which is a hell of a thing and summons down a blade from the sky in a ring of Stonehenge, pretty much knocks out everything that's in its path.
Ooh.
And so what you got to do is make sure that, one, you capture as many wells of these things that you can from the beginning of the battle, because eventually the bad guys start coming after you. And two, if a tower starts being attacked, that you defend it. So you then have to marshal out your army. So you may send one group over to defend one tower while you send another group to defend another tower. Whenever you enter one of these tower battles, Eddie has this thing that happens to him where he suddenly sprouts kind of demon wings.
Okay.
And can fly. And you move three times as fast when you're flying than when you're not. So it's an easy way to get up and get out of a battle if you're taking too much damage. But mm-hmm. it's also another way where you can easily go from tower to tower that you have and recruit more armies based on however many fans that you have. Okay, and he also has different summoning things that he does. And so this is where the button mashing comes in, the contextual piece. There are relic raising things that you have to do. And what a relic raiser allows you to do is add a new skill into Eddie's special attacks. So the first special attack that you get is the ability to summon your car.
Right.
The second one that you may or may not get, just depending upon how you do it, is the ability to rally everyone around you or to make them kick ass a little bit harder. And all of these things contextually show up on a musical staff and actually have Eddie playing music. Some of them are faster than others. I haven't unlocked all of them because right now I'm only playing the game on easy so I can get through it. But what's really interesting is as you progress through the story, you get to a point where Eddie finally, after a few battles, gets the girl. And they're right. all talking about it. And she's talking about how much, you know, she likes Lars and that he's an inspirational leader and he's got this and he's got that thing. And then Eddie just grabs her around the waist and deeply, deeply kisses her and slowly. And she comes out of the kiss and is like, love him like a brother. And then they kiss again, and the guy that drives the bus, Magnus, beeps the horn, and Eddie, like, waves him off, and they kiss again. And you're like, aw, it's so sweet. But then the seed of doubt gets cast, and eventually, Eddie kind of calls into question whether or not Ophelia's been straight, and he breaks her heart.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So he thinks that he's been betrayed because she is, or he thinks that she is this character that Deviculus is looking for. And she's not. And I want to look up the name because I don't want to say it wrong. Sicoria. And Deviculus, after the battle and the Pleasure Palace, where you defeat Lion White, it was like, I smelt your blood that day, Sicoria. I know you're near, and I wish that you would just stop staying among these humans and just come home and be where you're supposed to be. And so Eddie believes that Ophelia is Sicoria and asks her to come clean and, you know, just say that she was a traitor and told Deviculus about the battle. And she's like, I didn't. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And she throws the necklace of Eddie's mom at him, and he just walks away. And so she
is it the necklace?
No, it's not the necklace. I'm getting to it.
Oh.
So Ophelia goes and throws herself in the sea of black tears.
Oh.
And did you ever play the Blood Rain games?
No.
All right. Well, there was a boss character in there, and I can't remember her name, but she was, like, light blue, and she had, like, these swarms of, like, ink that went all over her body, basically to cover up her naughty bits because she was naked. So they always, you know, generally cover some piece of her...
Naughty bits.
Well, when Ophelia comes out of the Sea of Black Tears...
They cover her naughty bits?
That's what she's covered in. And they're all ripped in places, and she's hot, but she's definitely sad. Like, you know the makeup in Guitar Hero where you had the eyes and it was like the drowned world and you had like the dark black sad things?
Yes.
Yeah. So after the big battle and the breakup with Ophelia, for 3 months, everybody's hiding out in the snow in the hills. And then all of a sudden they hear this sad little laugh and it's like this bride chick. And then all of a sudden everybody's moving really slow. And like you start fighting basically the emo army because that's what... Ophelia raises with her heart being broken.
Right.
She decides she's going to wage war. So she gets a guitar of her own. She summons her own army. She builds her own stage and her own towers. And you have a big ass battle with her. And it's really hard. And then you finally get to the point where you track her down to her final base. And you guys are about to have it.
Have at it, right.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And Diviculus shows up. And, Eddie's like, yeah, well, you know what? I don't care that, you know, I've got to battle both you and Sikoria. And Ophelia, like, stops for a second, and you can see that she's kind of back to herself for a minute with her eyes. And she's like, wait, what are you talking about? And Diviculus goes, oh, you think this sad sack of a human is Sikoria? She's not. She couldn't even hold her jock strap. And he's like, wait, what do you mean? You said you could smell her blood and on that sword. And he goes, yeah, and I still smell it right now. And he sniffs Eddie.
Eddie's a woman?
No. Oh. But Eddie's mom was Sikoria.
Oh.
And see, a long time ago, Eddie's dad had been brought to that land and fought for all of the humans. And evidently...
Failed Sikoria and had Eddie.
Right. And Sikoria left that land with Eddie's dad.
That's so fucking
Ragnarok.
Horrible.
That's his dad's name. And so, Diviculus, right in front of Eddie as he has that realization, he goes, but I'm going to end this the same way that I ended that battle. And he reaches into her back and pulls out her heart. And she just... dissipates in the ink in front of Eddie. And he's like, no! And then Diviculus opens up his chest and puts her heart inside of his chest. And then whips out this, like, six-headed guitar, which lets you know the last battle's about to start.
Right.
And it's a hell of a battle. I died many, many times, and I'm playing this game on easy. But the difficulty was... And it's the only bone that I have to pick with the game, and I understand why they did it. But whenever you die, you don't start the mission necessarily completely over from the beginning.
Right.
You pick up exactly where you left off. So if you left off with only two men on infantry left on the board, basically, when you died, well, when you come back, that's exactly what you've got. So I was to the point when I died that they had taken over all my towers.
Ooh.
And so I didn't have enough power to keep Diviculus and all the minions off because they were just spawning more and more armies. So I finally just had to let my stage be taken so that it would kickstart the whole mission over from the beginning again so I could try to get it right. So that's one of my contention picks is that I'd like to have the option of to pick up from the last
checkpoint
or to pick up right where I left off.
Right.
Because there were times that I wish I could have started the whole mission over. Because once you get into the last mission, you can't go back and, like, get any more upgrades.
Right.
So, like, if you wanted to do the upgrade for your guitar that lets it cool off faster so you can do more lightning bolt attacks... If you don't do it before the final battle with Ophelia, you can't. So you may not be well-equipped enough to actually make it through the battle. And so that's one of the things that was a little troublesome to me. But after the last battle, which is pretty effing epic and hectic, but can be done quickly. So Diviculus is strung up like by these six chains that are on his back. He's just kind of hanging out like he's a spider. And spawns every being that you fought up until that moment. And so what you have to do is you have to beat up the druids and beat up the nuns. And then you've got to stun him a few times so that he actually pops off the chains. And then he has a major attack where he does a swipe of his staff that you need to block. And then you just go at him at your axe. And you got to do that about three times. So it's a kind of like a round robin. If you've ever played Devil May Cry, where you've got to do the three attacks before the thing shows its vulnerable spot.
Yeah.
Same kind of mechanic here. But once you do that, you get to the point where you're about to take out Diviculus. And it's not a pussy takeout. Okay, so you know how when we finished Fable, we were all like, wait, that's it? We just push the guy off the thing?
No, you shoot him.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. It was kind of
It's really funny, actually, because if you don't kill Lucian, the warrior of skill, the shot, he shoots him. But anyway.
I didn't know that, because he shoots him, like, and he's like, bitch, you shot my dog, so he had to doubt. He had to doubt.
Yeah.
Lucian
had to doubt. If you don't kill Lucian, he will, and he's like, oh. You wanted to kill him, huh? I just couldn't take his bloody talking. You know, and he kills him. So it's still melodramatic whichever way you do it.
Okay, so this is not, okay? When the moment comes, Eddie starts screaming, and he slices him. And he's like, decapitation! And literally, you see the guy's head just pop right off.
Right.
In slow motion.
Yes!
And then his body dropped to his knees, and the blood starts spurting, and then it falls back, and Eddie's just getting covered on his face in blood spew, and he's still screaming, Geisha! And you're just like, yes, because you took my bitch! Then he goes over to Diviculus's corpse and opens up his chest, and first takes out his heart and squeezes it and destroys it, and then he grabs Ophelia's heart. And it disintegrates in his hand.
Oh.
And once it's gone, his mother's necklace is there. Oh. And he was like, tear face.
Shut up.
Yeah, I told you. It's good.
Then
he jumps into the sea of black tears. Down to where her body is. Because when she went in, he got a glimpse of what happened. She got pulled down. And all of her sadness rose up and took a form like her body. So it really wasn't,
it wasn't her,
but all of her sadness welled up in that thing. So he puts the necklace back on her and starts swimming up. But the sea of blackness grabs him and starts pulling him down like it pulled her down. You're like, oh, this lame. So the next game's going to be me fighting out of the sadness. And then you see a hand come down, and it's Ophelia's hand. And she pulls him out of the sadness. And they get out of the sea of sadness together.
Aww.
But you're not really sure if she's actually really there.
Right.
Or if it's just her spirit.
Oh, no.
And, like, they fall out of the sea, and they're sitting on, laying on land. And he reaches over, and he brushes her hair out of her face and gives her a hellified kiss. But then there's a big flash, and you see everybody at this, like, stage. And they're talking about all kinds of great things as far as people that they remember that they lost in the battle. Because Lars kind of dies like a bitch.
Oh.
So they erect a statue in his honor. And his sister gives a speech. And everybody's like, we won't forget. And we fought for our lands and blah, blah, blah. And Eddie's packing up because he's leaving. And he's not trying to take any spotlight or anything. He's like, yeah. He's like, I've got some things I got to straighten out back there in the other land. But it's cool, you know. I'll be back. No worries and all that kind of stuff. And everyone's like, you can't forget us, Eddie. And he starts riding off. And everyone kind of bows their head for a second. And he's riding off and riding off. And then up on top of a hill, you see Ophelia on a knee and a black tear coming out of her face. And that's how the game ends. So
she didn't go with him.
Well, again, we don't really know that she's still
alive
or is a spirit, but either way, she's sad. So I really enjoy this story. It's a really good fucking story. So for all the haters out there, stop sucking haterade. It's good. It's okay that it's short. It means that you actually get through it. You finish it. You get your 50 bucks worth. Now, is the replay value kind of high? Yes, because you can play it on easy, you can play it on normal, and you can play it on brutal. There's a shit ton of achievements to get if you play it on the Xbox 360 side. There are even trophies you can get if you play it on the PS3 side. So there's all kinds of things that you could do. Like, I still haven't figured out how to take the bondage stuff off of the serpents. And evidently there's 100 of them. And there's like 4 levels of achievements I could get. So the fact that you can then go back when you finish the story mode and do some of those other things, I say it's worth the 50 bucks. Is it the greatest game on the planet ever? No. But it's a good one. I enjoyed it. So, my postmortem on Brutal Legend is a couple of things are kind of clunky. A few times when I was driving the car, it was really difficult to get it to actually go where I wanted it to go. So I found even using the handbrake, sometimes it didn't corner the way I needed it to. And that caused me to take some more damage than I really wanted to. But, you know, I can say that about a bunch of games that I've played.
Right.
So, the fact of the matter is, I chunked down, sat with this game for about 4 hours, 5 hours, finished it. But I enjoyed the entire trip, the entire 4 hours. So, suck it. I liked it.
So good.
So, thank you, EA and Double Fine. I give you 2 thumbs up on this one. I'm going to be playing it a bunch of times, and I'm not going to be taking it and trading it in anytime too soon. So, that's the mark of approval from me. I'd like to hear what you guys thought. If you've played Brutal Legend, drop us a line at questions@esh.mobi and let us know what your thoughts were and what platform you played it on and why you either liked or don't like the game. And we'll probably talk about it again soon, because once I start going through the achievement whoring piece, I'll probably talk about that one again.
Okay, then.
And then
looking forward to that.
The last little things that I've got are just kind of some updates, some demo things coming out, because again, October's a strong month, people. You got your Abbey Road DLC becoming available on the 20th. So if you've got Beatles Rock Band and you've got some points, you need to be up on your DLC. The Band Hero demo dropped on the Xbox Live in the marketplace, so make sure that you check that out. If you are a rhythm game fan, you've got to give it a shot. I'm interested in seeing what the true pick-up-and-play model actually looks like. I'm kind of interested in that. Somebody picking up while I'm in the middle of the song going, I want to play too, and jumping in right there without, you know, too much hassle. I'm interested to see what that looks like. Borderlands is around the corner. That one looks great. You've got Magna Carta, which released, which we should have a review of that coming pretty shortly as well on the website. Yeah, so October's going to be a strong month. I mean, you've got Borderlands, which is getting ready to drop. You've got DJ Hero. Also, I mean, there's like crazy amounts of stuff. Tekken 6. Jesus, how could I even... I'm like mad at myself for forgetting that. Forza 3, Fairy Tail Fights. Hell, even the... somebody's got a The Ballad of Gay Tony. Can't forget that one. I'm looking forward to that one on the 29th. So there's all kinds of really, really good stuff coming out this October, not to mention updates and DLC. So make sure that you're keeping your eyes out. You're putting your pennies together.
Making change.
Well, in November's not much of a slouch either. Okay. You got This Is Vegas, which kind of looks interesting, and I'm not exactly sure why, but it does. And you've got Dragon Age Origins right on the heels of that one, Lego Rock Band, Band Hero, Assassins. I mean, it's
all, motherfucker. Safari.
Modern Warfare. Shit.
Modern Warfare 2 is coming out in November, bitches. I'll be ready.
Hell, there's going to be a new Samurai Showdown game, so...
What?
Yeah. Edge of Destiny.
Ooh.
Serious. Serious. Xbox 360. Serious.
It's worth it. Serious.
So, that's all my game stuff. I think that's all of our podcast stuff. So I think I got to remind you to visit us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is...
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@ESH.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of our podcast airing each week on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. And you can catch our episodes over there. Are we still on it Wednesdays, or have we been moved back
yet? I don't know.
I haven't checked it.
I think we're still on Wednesday. They're going to be shuffling us around soon.
Yeah, so I think we're still on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, which is 9 p.m. Eastern time. But I believe that we're going to be moving shortly back to the Monday spot at 11 p.m. Eastern time. Not sure. I'll keep you in the loop as I knows.
Be checking the Twitters.
But make sure that you're also checking out some of the other entertainment things that you can find on the All Games Radio Network. You know, while you're waiting for our show to air there, if you're not picking it up in iTunes or on our site. So you can listen to things like Orange Island Radio.
Or... Sorry. Or... I'm so tired. Or Dead Pixel Live.
There's also In Game Chat.
And there is Video Game Outsiders.
Fantastic forums over there as well.
Gametopius.
The PN Spotlight Show is there.
And,
Black Wolf.
Yes, you and Friday Night Gaming.
The Black Wolf.
Damn, Black Wolf's the motherfucking band. Don't forget Wolf. Friday Night Gaming, even though they're not really affiliated.
Yeah, still. It's hot.
There's still a show to watch and admire and love.
Absolutely. So make sure that you're checking out some of the great entertainment that All Games has to offer in addition to the Esh stuff. And when you do, especially if you bounce into the live chat while you're doing it, make sure that you let them know who you heard about All Games from.
We're in the chat, you can say hi.
Yeah, totally. Which we do. We try to bounce into the chat as much as possible. Yeah. You can also check out some of our in-house shows, like the Boston Bass Brigade, held by our own King Baby Duck. You can find their podcast in iTunes or listen on their website at bostonbassbrigade.com. You can also check out Geek Aggro, hosted by Deuces Wild, who's also an Esh alum. And make sure that when you're listening to these things, that you tell them that you love them, because the guys like the attention.
We love to love you, baby.
Wait, no, that's different.
Love you.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy the randomness that is us, make sure that you follow us on Twitter. I can be found at twitter.com/ninjasister.
And I can be found at twitter.com/ladyesh.
And King Baby Duck and Deuces Wild are also on Twitter as well, so you can find them at twitter.com/their respective names. So with that, I think we're going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, I think it's done.
So, what are you going to do with your toast?
I am going to put my toast in a fursuit, and I'm going to take it to where the wild things are.
Aww. And that way you can feel like it's among friends.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm going to turn it into French toast and eat the shit out of it. Because I like
French
toast.
Well, if you eat the shit out of it, then...
You know what? It's just going to... be in my belly.
Alright then, Ninja. Alright.
I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out of here, folks. Until the next time.
Bye.